Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show today on this, the first day of December, the month of my birth. Hello. Hello to all you fellow Sagittarians. The Archers rule here in December. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI with our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which also has the live stream at kvoi.com, all of our podcasts, pretty much every show. I think there may be a handful of shows over the last almost 6 years that are not in there, but pretty much every show is available in the archive. We'll be coming up on our six-year anniversary on January 3rd of our radio project. Wow, how time flies. The Buckmaster Show live line opened for you. It's Showdown Day. The Showdown is the first Thursday of the month, 790-2040, if you would like to call in and join in the conversation, enhance what we have to say. Our monthly Showdown features two gentlemen who rarely agree on anything. However, there have been some recent occasions where they have been on the same page, namely TUSD. Seated to the right of me, Sean McCluskey. Mr. McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican activist who is now the host of the afternoon show, The Talk of the Town, from 1 to 3 right here on KVOI. How are you, Sean?
Doing well. Join me Saturday.
Yeah. It's a good show.
It's good to drive around. We're gonna
hear it as I'm out running errands.
Like most
a
people
lot
do.
Of people, you know,
yeah.
A lot of people listen to this program. They're in the car during the noon hour. They're going out to lunch. This is kind of like the midday drive time.
Absolutely.
So very happy with the noon hour. To the left of me, Mr. David Morales. David is a self-avowed leftist, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, which is quite a popular site. You've reached how many?
It just broke the 2.9 million mark.
Oh my! Of people that have viewed the
mm-hmm.
site.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a service that monitors this?
Yep.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. congratulations to you. David also is a, well, let's put it this way. He's been a very, very passionate critic of Dr. H.T. Sanchez, the superintendent of TUSD, and of the majority board. But all of that's changing, Sean and David. We had Rachel Sedgwick, the newest board member, on the Buckmaster Show yesterday. I met her for the first time. She was on Wake Up Tucson this morning. Your impressions, gentlemen, of Mr. Sedgwick, Ms. Sedgwick, David?
I've actually met her multiple times, and actually one time I was seated across from dinner from her, and we talked for a few hours. I think she's okay. I think the only thing I'm worried about is just that there's a steep learning curve for TUSD, and she will learn that as time goes on, that there's things that go back decades and decades. There's a lot of people that are gone now. HT's cabinet and everything is just a pretty much brand new crowd. So digging for the truth is going to require a lot of community input and effort on her behalf. But I do think she's definitely better than Cam.
What do you think, Sean? What do you think of her from your impressions?
I'm hopeful for TUSD. Mm-hmm. You know, Rachel is going to have, like David said, have a very steep learning curve, a very fast, and she's going to, you know, trial by fire pretty much through a water hydrant. She's going to have a huge amount of information to take in. But if she was smart, she's the woman in the middle. So don't pick a side. And when you have a question, go to Hicks and go to Stegman and ask them the question that you have, and then go get ask the same question and see what answer you get from the other side. And then make up your own mind. I think she's got enough conviction to make up her own mind and not be swayed by either one of the two sides.
Hmm. Well, the contract for Superintendent Sanchez, there's 18 months on the contract. Would it surprise you, Sean McCluskey, if that comes up early in January, right after the swearing in of Ms. Sedgwick?
I would tend to say a specific non-performance of his current contract may come up and ask for a vote on it and see what happens. That'll be her very first big test, and you'll see which way she goes at that point. Hopefully, she says, look, HT, you got to go, especially with the events that he just put her through the other day with the parent.
That was the Utterback?
Correct, yeah. Situation. When she was invited to a meeting with the parents, and the parents, HT basically said the parents can have the meeting, but she wasn't allowed to be inside the meeting. And that's ridiculous. She's on the school board. Well, she will be on the school board, so why not get her educated now and see what's going on? But if that's the education you're getting and the superintendent doesn't even want to allow you in a meeting, mm-hmm. it's going to be a contentious relationship, and hopefully she makes the right decision and fires him.
David, if you take... if you listen to my interview yesterday where I asked her about the future of Dr. Sanchez, she said that there would be performance goals that would be laid out for him. She indicated that she would not be ready to jump in and say he's through.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate, but the nasty character of TUSD politics is such that she's going to really – I know she doesn't want to, but she is going to define herself at the very beginning with that vote. And she's probably, I would guess, if I had a bet right now, she's probably going to vote to not fire H.T. Sanchez. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying, but it will haunt her because every time there's a mistake that's made, because it's going to be impossible to bring this up again for another vote. And people will just say, you had your chance, you had your chance. And so she's going to have to really rely on H.T. doing the right thing if she does not fire him.
That was not okay. Go ahead, Sean.
I was going to say, it comes down to, can you live with him for 18 more months? You've already had him for so long, and he doesn't need to have a track record put out in front of him. He's got a record behind him, and they call me Captain Chaos in the morning in jest, but he's just nothing but a wake of chaos, and it's not good.
All right, that was not going to be my lead topic today, but I did want to get you guys to weigh in on the new board member since I did just meet her yesterday. My topic of the day, Sean and David, can we get together here? The election's a month behind us. It's in the rearview mirror. Can we as Americans come together and give Mr. Trump a chance, David Morales? And do you have second thoughts, David, about going the third party route, which in effect put Mr. Trump in office?
I don't know if I would agree with that last part. I mean, I think I voted for Jill Stein. I'm a member of the Green Party, and the voting for Hillary wouldn't have made a difference in Arizona, and in a lot of states. And so, I think. Well, first of all, we have to deal with Trump. I mean, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, he's as much my president as he is your president. And you know, if some people have fears and some people have hopes, I mean, it's the same. We're the same people. So I'm not really. I don't think the sky is falling. I do think that some good things are that he's mobilizing the activist community. And, you know, he's backing up on a lot of stuff. You know, the wall's not going to be built, and he's not going to put Hillary in prison. And, you know, he's already a classical politician, you know, breaking his promises. But, you know, that's kind of good on my point of view. But I think you just have to watch and see. Reality is going to hit him, you know, and like just like H.T. Sanchez, who had no experience being a superintendent, you know, you can't just come in there and it's a whole new game, and we'll see.
Wasn't he a superintendent, though, in Texas?
He was an interim superintendent for 3 months or
just
something.
Just wanted to make sure. Okay, Sean.
So we lived through 8 years through Obama, and it was a dismal 4 years previous to Obama. So everybody is looking for a surge or an uplift, and you've already seen it. He hasn't even taken office yet. I mean, you've seen it with Ford Motor Company. You've seen it with Carrier in Indiana. He's doing positive things, and he hasn't even taken office yet. He's put a cabinet together that's more conservative than Reagan's cabinet. That scares the ever-living you-know-what out of the left. But when you look at the everyday American, and I use my office a lot because they're out there living life every day in the city of Tucson, and when they came to me about 2 months ago and said, hey, my Obamacare went from $800 to $1,200, I can't afford it. That is something that's directly affected by the Democratic Party when they had a supermajority. Well, thankfully, there's no more supermajority, but the Republicans are going to have to come up with a solution to reduce the costs and also effectively not remove anybody who's currently covered. So that's a huge task, and that's something that they're working on. They've got a couple good plans. I think Price, his pick for his pick to take care of the situation.
Health secretary.
Yeah, health secretary. Thank you. He is a great pick for this. He's got a great plan. I do believe that Trump is putting the right people in the right place, and we're going to move the country forward, and it's going to lift everybody up.
Well, I think his choice for education secretary is a huge disaster and basically an enemy of public education. I think it's interesting if you look at his cabinet. I just read an article today that it's like the richest cabinet ever. He's got billionaires. He's got Wall Street people in there.
They know how to make money. They can change a country around.
Right, but see, during the election, it was always Hillary's about Wall Street, right?
And drain about drain the swamp.
And so now it's, I think to me, it's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about power and money. And the bankers will always be on top in this country. And this is a prime example. I mean, he's Donald Trump. He's a billionaire. He doesn't talk to you know, the farmers in Iowa. He doesn't hang out with them. That's not who his community is.
But
his,
those are the people that elected him.
Exactly.
Because he understands down trickle economics. He understands that if you raise $15 hour minimum wage, what are you going to do? Your cost of goods are going to go up. You're seeing here locally, the restaurant guys are already complaining. They're going to have to raise their prices 15 to 20% because of the hourly increase.
I think
Trump understands that.
I think he had a strong support of Christian conservatives in this country, and they're going to have a reality, an awakening soon, when they realize he's not one of them. He claims to be a Christian, but he can't, you know, he doesn't really know the Bible or anything. His past is, you know, one of debauchery of three marriages and models and that type of stuff. And so he's not one of
doesn't
us.
Doesn't drink and doesn't do any drugs. So you make him out to be a playboy, but he doesn't do any of that. I mean, he is straight water.
Clean
guy.
Living.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people are soon going to realize that he's a Wall Street person. He's a rich person. He's not the person that you're going to drink, well, literally not drink a beer with, because he doesn't drink beer. But, you know, my prediction is we'll see that most of America, he's going to feed them stuff like, we're going to go after the Muslims, we're going to go after the Mexicans, whatever.
That's irrelevant.
But
nobody gives
it is irrelevant. But when people look at their paychecks, they're going to realize that he's just another corporate person.
Their paychecks will get bigger. The economy will grow. Small business will be better. We'll all be better off underneath Trump. We've already seen it with, if Hillary was elected, you would have seen numerous companies leave this country. That would have been job loss, and then trickle-down economics would have affected the mom and pop at the bottom. With Trump, you've seen companies stay, so you'll see more small businesses grow and thrive.
All right, we'll be right back. It is the Monthly Showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales. This is Buckmaster at 12:17. Be right back.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Kathleen Erickson. Miss Erickson is the new head of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Friday Roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Jim Nintzel of The Weekly. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch, all on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales. David, one of your heroes is coming to town, Noam Chomsky.
Noam Chomsky, yes, MIT professor of linguistics.
What do you like so much about this guy?
One of my bucket list items was to meet him in person.
Really?
And it's funny because thanks to the Republicans, after 2010, he's come actually multiple times. He comes actually every year now. Because Tucson is now a focal point nationwide for things like immigration, policies that banning Mexican American studies, stuff like that. So his daughter actually works for No More Deaths, I believe. Hmm. And so he's got a connection here, and I think she works in Nogales. So, what do I like about him?
Yeah, what's the attraction?
If you read his stuff, he's super brilliant. And you can go back, and I recommend this to everyone, go to YouTube and you can look up a nice debate between him and William Buckley Jr. And this is like, I think, the heyday of debates. I mean, people would just watch this at home, and now you just have Fox News with like the 20 people at the same time. But it's intellectual debate. It's debate that is focused on facts and the history and not just, propaganda and feeling. And that's why I like about him. He's a super, super intellectual, knows about everything. And he's been involved since the 50s. When he first became a professor, he protested the Vietnam War before it was popular to protest the Vietnam War. So,
but he's a superstar of the left.
Yes.
I would say so.
Yeah, he's a little on the extreme side sometimes. Mm-hmm. What, some of his some
well, what's
of his,
it, what's extreme?
Far left of the middle.
No, but like, what has he said that's extreme to you?
Just in what you were talking about the Buckley debate, there were some things in there. A very articulate man, very very educated. But you look at the two differences in extreme is maybe not the right word, but their ideas are extremely different when you look at Buckley versus Chomsky.
Yeah, I mean, so he's a very anti-war person. So, I mean, that's probably the most liberal thing. That's what he focuses on a lot is being anti-war. He was also, he had different views of, and he's actually met Fidel Castro. When Bush met Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, he gave him a copy of Noam Chomsky's book. Just so you can understand the history of Latin America. Not from the American perspective where, the way we view things is, America's good, everyone else is bad. Communism bad, domino theory, we got to spend all our money fighting these people. And what he's realizing is, the United States, this is like the biggest shocker, I guess, from a lot of people is maybe the United States isn't always good. And maybe, in fact, like he says, the United States is one of the world's largest terrorist organizations.
Really? The United States is a terrorist organization?
It's our involvement in foreign countries when they're falling apart. He doesn't think that we should be the world's police officer. And I happen to agree with him on that topic at times.
What I like about it is he was challenged by this, and there's another YouTube clip of this. And he says, give me any definition of terrorism. Mm-hmm. And any definition that you give him, he'll show you how the United States is part of that. You want to terrorize other countries, you want to terrorize civilians, you want to terrorize your own people, torture. Any definition that we have for any terrorist organization out there, we're guilty of it, sometimes many times over.
So then what in that definition there, the anti-Trump protesters after the election would be not only domestic terrorists, but financial terrorists and just terrorists in general, is
no,
what you're saying.
Protesting is not bad. I mean, he's talking about actual...
I agree with you. If they protest and it's peaceful and there's no destruction, but when they set fires to flags and they set fires to cars and they break into businesses and they cause economic damage, then now you're an economic terrorist. According to Chomsky.
Well, I don't think he said that. I mean, we're talking...
Any act of aggression or destruction, I believe, is what his words were.
Let me give you an example. So if we were an objective people in America, we would view what's going on in Israel, Palestine, as there's a clear wrong side. I mean, you have people who are being bombed by the thousands, killed, and we think that's okay. And we don't view the people there that are being bombed and killed by the thousands as victims. And that's because Israel, if you look at, you know, the history of the United Nations votes, even with Cuba, it's usually every nation against two people. You know, they're like our rubber stamp in the United Nations.
But according to Chomsky, regardless of what's happening to the little girl who's videoing it live every day, that she's watching the bombs come, he says we shouldn't be involved.
No, he's for a two-state solution.
But he says that America, as a police force, should not be involved in that action. They should have that resolution amongst themselves with the neighboring countries, not with
the
USL.
You brought up Fidel Castro. Were you disappointed? Were you saddened at the death of Castro?
I think Fidel Castro is another example of how our history is taught very, very. It's like propaganda in this country. Yes. No, so here's the thing. I will agree with you a lot of stuff. He did a lot of bad things, right?
Thousands of people before the firing squad under Castro.
I lived in Florida, in Miami, just north of Miami. There were people that were celebrating in Miami because the guy died. Like, it was like they won the Super Bowl. I mean, they were almost damn near burning cars in the street. They were so happy. So how can you sit here and tell me that tens and thousands of people flee a dictator and go across a 90-minute boat ride in treacherous, shark-infested waters to escape the guy, and yet he's your hero?
He's not my hero. What I'm saying is, first of all, the United States is one of the only countries in the whole world that did not, like, all the other countries in the world were mourning, you know, a person that died. We're the only country that doesn't see it that way, and that's because we've had interest in Cuba for a long time. Now, yes, he has done a lot of bad things, but you got to look at the CIA has had 638 assassination attempts on him. They've continuously tried to overthrow the government from the Bay of Pigs onward. Operation Mongoose, look it up. So the thing is, when you're running a country where everyone is trying to kill you and take over, you're going to have extreme things. Like, for example, if right now in this studio, if we found out that we're under attack and one of you guys is a spy, you know, and take over the whole thing, you it's the different nature. You know, you it's different, you know.
But he killed so many political
prisoners. Let me ask you this.
But, I mean, the United States does that. I mean, Hiroshima, how much did we kill in one...
Let's go to the live line real quickly. Richard is with us. Hey, Richard.
Hey, guys. You know, there's some truth to both of these arguments, but, you know, we just went from the far left, or semi-far left with Obama. We've gone now to the far right with Trump. That's like this debate, Bill. We have the hard left here and the hard right.
Right.
This is not America. We need to try to find the middle again, people, wherever that is.
Well,
how do we get there?
That's what I would like to find, the middle. How do we get there? It's a good question, Richard.
You put everybody back to work.
I think so. Here's an example of where most Americans would actually like single payer healthcare, like 70%. But people are always like, oh, no, we don't want socialized healthcare. We don't want communism. We don't want this stuff. But see, that's like the rhetoric. The rhetoric out there scares people, where what people actually want is actually more left of center if you look at the actual statistics. But if you read the news, they're always talking about right of center. So there's a disparity in reality here.
But you're saying people want the progressive, the left of center.
I mean, if you truly believe if you have a Christian background, why would you not want health care? Why would you not want education? For that's something that in Cuba, that's one thing a lot of people don't talk about. No one was hungry in Cuba. No one was uneducated in Cuba.
It was hard to get an aspirin in some hospitals.
No, their healthcare was being exported across the world. In fact, look at the video
they
on
were
YouTube.
Very selective in their healthcare. If you were elderly,
no.
You didn't get it.
No. If you watch, go to YouTube and look for a video of Nelson Mandela when he goes to Fidel Castro and he thanks him and he says, "When are you coming to South Africa? We would not have won against apartheid, was it not for you? Now, meanwhile, Reagan and Margaret Thatcher were promoting apartheid. Cuba was sending people to Angola, to South Africa to fight for
Look at some
freedom.
Of the current drone video that's going outside of the major cities in Cuba, and look at the slums that are out there. And look at Facebook, and look at the Americans that were there that were fearful to speak out on social media because they knew the government was watching. How do you have people live like that?
Okay, I'll give you quickly, we have our Patriot Act and stuff. But, you know, you're right about one thing. In Cuba, they do have a history of human rights violations. It's called Guantanamo Bay, where they torture prisoners to this day.
All right, Sean, you want to quickly rebuttal that or
no.
Just leave it?
I'm going to leave that one.
Leave it
leave
to
that
hang
one go.
That
yep.
one to dry.
Let that
All
one
right.
go.
David Morales, thank you, David. And Sean McCluskey, thank you, sir.
Thanks
and
for
I
having
hope
me.
I will not see both of you before the holiday, mm-hmm. So I hope you'll both have a great holiday season.
Merry Christmas,
thanks a lot.
Merry Christmas.
All right, we will be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amo Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the first day of December. Time to do that holiday decorating. What about green things for all of your holiday needs? They have a selection of poinsettias you will just not believe. Greenhouse after greenhouse, waves of color. Check it out. 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. And they have their workshops on Saturday and Sunday, free workshops. And I think Saturday is going to be how to build kind of a fairyland kind of garden, which would be great for the kids this holiday season. So say hi to Jan and Jack. They've done a beautiful job over at Green Things. We say hello now on the Buckmaster Show to Pamela Powers Hanley, who is the newest member of the Arizona Legislature from District Number 9. District 9 is kind of the central Tucson area and the Catalina foothills. Pamela, congratulations, representative to be a representative elect. How do you characterize the election? What do you think? How do you see it?
Well, the election was really crazy, that's for sure. I mean, at around 8:30 on November 8th, things were very exciting in the Marriott Ballroom for the Democratic Party when they announced the LD9 race. And Steve Farley and Randy Freese and I got up on stage and we waved our hands and everything. But then about 2 o'clock in the morning on November 9th, things were not quite so happy for the Democrats.
And Senator Farley actually got up, as I recall, and said that the Senate was going to be evenly split between Democrats and Republicans, and it just didn't happen. It's pretty much the same number advantage for Republicans in the Senate as before, right?
I think we picked up one in each House. One in the House and one in the Senate is what he reported to DGT on Monday.
How as a Democrat, now you going up to Phoenix, how can you get your voice heard?
Well, one thing that I've always said is that my platform had crossover issues, you know, like economic reform and public banking and also the war on drugs, the opiates and things like that. Those are issues that don't stop at a party line. You know, everybody knows people who have trouble with drug addiction, and everybody has different opinions on what's going on with the economy and how to fix it. And so I think that there are people that that I could reach out to and work with on that.
How do you feel about economic incentives?
You mean the big corporate giveaways? Yeah, I'm leery of those, and I have spoken against those for many, many years. And right now we have several of them happening, you know, right here in southern Arizona, and it's millions of dollars. You know, the newest one is that the car company, but then we've also got the Monsanto deal and a Raytheon deal and Caterpillar and Worldview. And
so you would rather
that's
not
a lot.
You would rather not see taxpayers fund these incentives.
I think these are risky investments.
But
I really do.
They are generating jobs.
Yeah. Well, you know what I would really like to see? I was on a budget briefing phone call earlier this week that talked about the Arizona Commerce Authority, and most of these deals are coming through the Commerce Authority at some level. And they actually gave us a list of all the companies that have gotten incentive money. It was quite a long list. But then what they're going to be producing is actually a spreadsheet that shows actually how many jobs we get out of these things rather than the promise of, you know, economic.
Such and such promising to bring like this.
Yeah, exactly.
This car, the electric car competitor, I guess they'll be a competitor to Tesla. Lucid is, I believe, the name of the car, electric car company that's going to be built in Casa Grande. Who knows, though, how many jobs in the end they're actually going to be up there. They're saying maybe 2,000.
Right, right. Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, I mean, capitalism has always worked in that the capitalist takes the risk and he makes the money, he or she makes the money in the end. But these types of deals, taxpayer is taking part of the risk also. And so, you know, I'm just leery of it. And I have been, you know, pushing the idea of having a public-private partnership between community banks and a public bank to help grow local business, because those would be obviously smaller investments and safer investments, because these people are already here and in business, you know. So I think these big deals they make me leery of them. Taking on debt to give it away is risky as far as I'm concerned.
So how does this change your life now? You're obviously going to be up in Phoenix 5 days. Well, they don't. Sometimes they only meet 4 days a week.
Right,
they
right.
They take kind of Friday off, so yeah. You'll have to get an apartment up there.
Yes, I rented an apartment, mm-hmm. and Jim and I are going to be moving some of our ragtag furniture up there next week, and so it's exciting, you know.
Have you had meetings already, and you know what committees you're going to be on?
Yes, I've been in many meetings, actually, on the phone and in person, and next week there's several meetings coming up. They're having the freshman orientation. I got my office. I have Victoria Steele's old office. So if you ever visited her, you'll find me there now. I got my seat assignment, my parking lot, parking space, and I'm going to be the ranking member on the health committee, and I'm also going to be on the banking insurance committee. So both of those are in line with things in my platform, because I have a background in public health, and so I think that they're good assignments, and I'm into it. I'm really looking forward to it.
What could be a big issue that will come before the health committee, do you think?
Well, we were talking a lot about Arizona Department of Health Services and access yesterday over the phone. There's some issues with the state hospital that have to be resolved. But I also would like to propose some bills to look at the opiate epidemic.
Yes,
and
yes.
So there's actually one that I inherited from Randy, who proposed it last year, which would be if you're in a situation where you and your friends are taking illegal drugs and one of them gets into an OD situation, if you call the police, you won't be arrested. You'll get treatment, but you won't be arrested. And so that will save lives. That will save lives, because right now I've heard of people like, you know, dragging poor old Joe out to the driveway, you know, if he's going to have OD, because, you know, you don't want him there. And so I think that there are things that we can bring up. And again, the opiates and the drug addiction is not just a Democratic or Republican issue.
Well, the health issue certainly will be well represented from District 9 on the House side, because State Representative Dr. Randy Fries is returning, and now you're returning, or you're coming in there for the first time with a health background. So both of you obviously very interested in health, which is this opiate thing is huge.
Yes, yes.
It's a horrible situation.
Yeah, and what I always say is that Randy and I are both in health, but we're sort of at opposite ends, because I'm in public health, and so I'm trying to stop you from doing something so stupid that you end up in the emergency room with him. You know?
Yeah, with him in the emergency room. Okay, so you've got your work cut out for you. How about the budget situation? What will be the big issue, do you think?
Well, this afternoon, actually, we're going to be talking about education and the university budgets. Mm-hmm. And then also later in the day today, we're going to be talking about the Department of Revenue. So I'm getting a really good idea of what's going on in these different departments. There's more meetings next week on it. And so I'm still sort of formulating my ideas.
And what did I see on Facebook at 6 a.m.? You were already at the racket club or something?
Yes.
What in the world? Who in the world at 6 a.m. is at the racket club? Well, it's great exercise. And,
yeah.
Get your day going.
Yeah,
fast.
Jim and I swim in the morning at the racket club, and we actually got quite a few voters there this summer.
All right, Pamela, thank you very much. Pamela Powers Hanley is the newest state representative from District Number 9. We'll talk with you as the session gets underway and get some of your impressions as a freshman lawmaker. Thank you, Pam.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
All right, this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City. Pam, have you and Jim been over to Silver City?
I love Silver City.
You do love it.
Yeah, it's a great little getaway and not far from here.
Great, it is. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. They've been a great sponsor of ours, and we try to send As many of our show listeners over there, there's a lot to do. The first really national wilderness in the United States, the Gila, right there outside of Silver City, and of course the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. But they've got some great restaurants in downtown historic Silver City. Restaurants that have been written up in the New York Times. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, the full listing of many places to stay, a couple of dozen places to stay, and a couple of dozen recreation ideas for you. We'll be right back.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before? And claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this first day of December. We're joined by attorney Don Luce. Mr. Luce of Luce, Brown, Hobb, Kirk, and Callahan, attorneys at law. Luce Brown Attorneys have three offices, two in Phoenix. They have a beautiful office here in town on River Road here in Tucson. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Law is 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, a book that has just chock full of information. And it's written in a way, Don Luce, good to see you, by the way.
Thank you, Bill. Good to see you again.
It is written in a way that is definitely for non-attorneys. It's for the layman.
You know, everybody needs to have a minimum amount of knowledge regarding Arizona law. If you live here, there are certain things that you just need to know. And so when I wrote Arizona Laws 101, I didn't write it for lawyers. I wrote it for people who needed the information, but you know, don't need to go to law school to understand what I'm writing about.
It's in its second printing, very popular book. And of course, Estate Planning in Arizona is Don's other book, What You Need to Know. And we all should be thinking about estate planning, especially as the end of the year is always a good time to kind of re-evaluate, right?
Yes, and a lot of people put it on their to-do list for next year as well.
That's for sure. We have talked on this program in our monthly legal sessions with Don Luce about medical marijuana and the legalization in many states, increasingly number of states about recreational marijuana. And Don, I believe Arizona on Election Day was the only state that said no to expanding limits for recreational marijuana.
That's right, Bill. Prop 205 was defeated. Prop 205, if passed, would have allowed Arizona citizens over the age of 21 years to essentially use marijuana for recreational purposes. Prop 205 was one of five ballots nationwide concerning recreational marijuana. It was, as you pointed out, the only one to not pass. Right now, there are 28 states and the District of Columbia which have some form of legalization of marijuana, either for medical or recreational purposes.
Including Arizona because of our medical marijuana.
Correct. We, since 2010, Arizona has permitted the use of marijuana for medical purposes to those citizens that hold medical marijuana cards, which are issued by the Department of Health Services upon a doctor's recommendation.
As we have talked over the months about the expansion of the marijuana in these many states, we've also talked about the what-if question, Don Luce. And the what-if question is, in a change of administration, which we are seeing now, what if we get a situation where the Attorney General may not be so favorable as past administrations to marijuana?
Boy, that is a great question. And that is the question of the day, really, with the nomination of Jeff Sessions as the new Attorney General under the Trump administration. So Jeff Sessions, who is, the Alabama senator, has just as recently as April of this year in a Senate hearing admonished against the proliferation of marijuana. He said, quote, "We need grown-ups in charge of Washington to say marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized." Well, now you have what I would say is the marijuana industry's biggest opponent, who's going to be heading up the Justice Department.
That sounds like a worse nightmare for the people
in the marijuana industry,
you know, doesn't it?
Well, I can't think of a person to head up the Department of Justice that would be less likely to put the clamps on marijuana. The Justice Department is not prosecuting marijuana producers because essentially they've made a decision, economic and political, that they're going to use their limited resources for other purposes. Now, they've said, however, that that doesn't mean that the cultivation or sale or distribution of marijuana isn't in violation of the Controlled Substances Act. In fact, it is, regardless of state law. All they said, though, is consistent with resource constraints and at our discretion, we're not going to use our resources to prosecute people who use marijuana or people who cultivate marijuana, provided that the cultivation doesn't involve minors, doesn't involve felons, doesn't involve firearms, and isn't done on federal land. Now, if you can pass that test, and if your state legalizes the cultivation and you're properly licensed within your state, then currently the Department of Justice is going to, you know, pretty much look the other way. But the question is, with Jeff Sessions at the head of the Justice Department, if he's confirmed, what is that going to do with respect to the Department of Justice looking the other way? Now, the concern is that one of two things may happen with regard to the recreational use. I think the consensus is that even if Sessions does head up the Department of Justice, that he's probably going to leave alone the medical use.
Yeah.
But as we know, there are a growing number of states who have legalized it for recreational purposes. And with regard to those states and the producers of marijuana in those states, one of two things can happen. The federal government can raid the premises and seize the illegal product under federal law, or could institute lawsuits to prevent the production from occurring and basically shut the businesses down. Either one of those two things would have a serious chilling effect on people who are investing money in the marijuana industry. And we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
That could shut the pipeline down, the prospective pipeline anyway.
Would certainly slow growth at the very least.
Let's talk about Governor Ducey appointing two new Arizona Supreme Court justices. Governor Ducey moving forward on legislation that he signed, that the lawmakers came up with, to expand the court.
Right. So our Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of Arizona, was comprised of five members. And those members are appointed by the governor. About 6 months ago, the legislature, which is Republican-controlled, sent the governor, who is a Republican, legislation that increased the number of justices from five to seven, and the governor signed it into law. So just this week, the governor announced, you know, who his appointments were to fill those two vacant slots. He appointed John Lopez, who is the first Hispanic to serve on the Supreme Court, and Andrew Gold, who is a appellate court judge. Both Lopez and Gold are Republicans, and the people who are looking at this critically are saying, well, hold on just a minute. The Republicans have control of the legislature. They have control of the executive office. And the governor just appointed a couple of Republicans to the Supreme Court because the Republican legislature increased the number of judges from five to seven. You know, so what's going on here? And I think the interesting thing to all of this is that the Supreme Court Chief Justice, Scott Bales, at the time that this legislation was being proposed, said, hold on, we don't need more judges on the Supreme Court. Our workload doesn't justify increasing our numbers. And so the $1 million a year that it's going to cost to add two more justices is, in Justice Bales' opinion, a waste of money. Mm-hmm. We don't need these. Mm-hmm. We don't need these new judges. Well, despite that, the legislature did enact did pass the bill, and Governor Ducey signed it into law. And just this week, we have two new justices on the Arizona Supreme Court.
And what was the justification for expanding the court?
Boy, that's a
because bottom line, why was it needed? Especially if it's going to cost, I think you said $1 million.
$1 million a year is the estimated cost of adding two new judges to the Arizona Supreme Court. Now, at the time, I think the justification was we're preparing for the future. We're helping ease the workload, and you know this is a good thing. But as I mentioned, this the Chief Justice himself said, no, we don't need anybody.
All right. Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown, Hobkirk & Callahan with us usually the first Thursday of the month. We talk about the law here, and Don Luce knows a lot about the law. He's written two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Regarding the latter, it is always a good time. Well, it's always a good time to learn about the laws, but it's very good time. Think about your estate and what happens after your demise.
Well,
people,
you know,
I know you don't. People don't like to talk about it.
No,
but
no,
it will happen to all of us.
That's
we will all be gone one day, and we want to make sure our things are covered.
That's a good way of putting it, Bill.
All right. Have a wonderful holiday season. We will see you in the new year.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Don Luce. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They're on from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours in the morning. A new show called Talking Culture from 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with usually Ray Allen. But Ray is not here on Friday. But Tom Fairbanks will be on the other side of the glass. Have a great afternoon and evening.